continue in worship through giving as our ushers come forward. And while they're doing that, I want to go ahead and introduce to you our preacher today, Pastor Emmy from Romania. And he's been our partner in the gospel for many years now. And we send people to help him serve his churches there. He's part of a, y'all can help me out with the specific words, you or John, but the sort of a network of churches that they tackle this as a team, and they pastor many churches and many people, and we have the privilege of joining them in that service. Side note, if you are interested in joining them in that and going on our next trip to Romania, talk to Emmy, talk to me, talk to John. Pastor Emmy, come on up.
Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I'm very glad to be here in this morning. And I'm honored to have this opportunity being again with your home church, with this wonderful family of God's children, and to have the occasion to share with you something God put on my heart. But before that, I want to thank again to the church, to the leadership of the church for this opportunity they gave me to share the word with you. And as Pastor Andy said, I thank you very much to every one of you who were involved coming to visit us, stay along us. We need it, and we are very thankful. And we pray that we will continue this wonderful relationship. Now, I'm glad to share the word of God with you. I want to say from the beginning that I really believe the Bible. I think the Bible is God's words for us, and He can bring change and power and everything we need in the life we live here and from for all eternity. So I feel this moment is very important and precious to me, and I hope to you also. I'm afraid I can't express everything what is in my heart. And I can make mistakes in English, but you know that already. So please forgive me for that. If something doesn't sound well, it wasn't my intention, okay? I want everything to sound perfect, but I really want to share something God put on my heart. Because, and I told you these things, because I will speak, as you already know, from Hosea, which is a difficult passage of the Bible for those of you who know the story, his story. There are many questions, hard to find a good answer for them. But before of that, let me start with the question. Do you think what's the greatest love story ever? Did you ask yourself the most wonderful love story what it would be? Okay, I imagine that many of you will answer, of course, it's about Romeo and Juliet. Yeah, that's from literature, something we all know. You know here in America, we know it in Romania, many other people know it in their languages. And they feel somehow encouraged by this kind of love, that they want to be together, and even death cannot put them apart. Yeah, it's something powerful. It's a wonderful, wonderful love story. Or can be other one, yeah, like this one. Yeah, I couldn't help myself not to have this picture here. It's from last evening game. Yeah, and of course, to share with the guys we love, to have this in a tradition, I was amazed by that. Yeah, I was amazed. We don't do this. We don't have it. And I think Something from this was the power that the Aggies won yesterday. Yeah, believe me. I had the privilege to be there, and I was amazed is a very weak word to say what I felt when all that people there shouted and did like this. So I was happy to help the 12 men a bit little stronger and bigger. Yeah, it was an excellent joy. And yeah, that's a love story. Who, when you ask this question, what's the most wonderful love story ever? What woman in this building will not wish to be hers? I say woman first, because men don't think about this very much, don't feel it, but we all like it too. So compare with these two stories, how can Hosea come here and be discussed in this competition of the most wonderful love story? Although it doesn't look like in the next minutes, I want to show you what I saw in God's Word when I studied and why this story is in the Bible for all of us. Because if you ask me today what was the most wonderful love story in this world, I have big time, hard time to answer something else, something different than tell you that is Hosea's love story. How can it be? Okay, let's think about this guy. It's a young guy, like many of you here, unmarried still. And he's looking for a career. He is looking to do something. All the people around him was looking while he grew up. He wasn't like the others. Many young people had some plans in life, was trying to find good things in life, but not this guy. This guy was kind of a holy man. He wanted to serve the Lord. And when you want to serve the Lord, your life is different than the people who don't want to serve the Lord. Your faith is different, your habits are different, and many things. So many people look at this guy, being impressed by him. I imagine, I don't know how he's here, if he would live in Romania, I imagine many moms thinking, this is the right guy for my daughter. Okay, many rabbis probably there may already plan, this girl is good for this guy. But when someone tried to have a conversation about this subject, Hosea said something interesting. I will marry the girl God will tell me to. Are you sure about this, Hosea? Oh, yes, I'm very sure. I want to do in my life what God is telling me to do. For sure, I want to marry the girl God will say me to. And they look at his life. They saw in him a gift. He was a speaker. He was a prophet. And everybody who knew him was impressed by his faith. And when he started to, I don't know how they did it in those times, to date Gomer, I imagine many people asked, something's not good here. Now, I want to stop here and tell you that the commentators of the Bible are not all agreeing that Gomer was an unfaithful wife before she married him. This is the most common interpretation, but there are some who say she became an unfaithful wife only after they married. But it doesn't it's not important for us in this morning what happened, if happened before or after. It doesn't matter. Because what happens while his life, family life, started to not work very well, he continued to love his wife. Continued to go and look for her, bringing her home, living with her, and encourage her, and serve her. And then she left again. And they both had children, 3. And the situation in that family was that bad that you are not sure if these babies, if these children are Hosea's children or not. But he continues to look for her and love her. And of course, after a few years and few problems they faced, a friend probably come to Hosea. Hosea, I have a question for you. Now, this is my question. How can a holy man like you love a woman like her? Hosea answered, thank you for your question. I have a question for you. How can a holy God love an unfaithful people like us? I want to tell you that God's love is full of grace. And these questions stirred my heart to study this subject and see why God put this man in this situation. And I understand that God's love is something we cannot grasp, we cannot understand, if in a way we see it working at our level. So that's why God chose this guy and made him love a woman who became, who was an unfaithful wife, but he could literally love her with a lot of grace. So God could tell all the people around, look, this is my love for you. This is how I love you. I will read that passage. I want to have the scripture with me. But before that, I still want to go with this question. This is a question for me, and you can take for you also. How can a holy God, the holy God, love me who I am a sinner? Okay? And the answer is very easy and clear for us to understand. I think Pastor Andy that he tried to explain to the children already. But guys, this is a very important matter. We cannot let our lives not to find this truth. This changes everything. To understand that it doesn't matter our situation, who we are, what we did, God will love us. He loves us not because who we are. He loves us not because what we have. He loves us not because what our abilities and our what things we can do for him. No. He loves us because he chose to love us. And he will not love us more when we kind of do some things to deserve his love. There is nothing we can do to deserve his love. There is always his grace poured out of us. It comes from his grace. He loves us. He loves you. And the other part is also very important, because Satan comes to us and tell us this lie. you are so bad, you did so many bad things that God cannot love you anymore. No, God doesn't love us because what we are. God loves us in spite what we are. It doesn't matter how big is a sinner in this world. It doesn't matter what the other people say about him or about you or me. It matters that is nothing that can make us deserve God's love. It's nothing that can stop God's love for us. He really loves us. He really loves me. He really loves you. That's a basic truth, very important. And if it would be only that, I still would be happy and encouraged to live this life. But in this morning, I want to tell you there is much, much more. Let's open the Bible if you want, or follow there the passage from Hosea chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. The Lord said to me, go, show your love to your wife again. Thou she is loved by another man, and it's an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loved the Israelites. Thou they turn on other gods and love to sacred raising caves. So I bought her again for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a letek of barley. Then I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will behave the same way toward you. Now, from the story of Hosea, I discovered there is much more about God's love. This is foundational. God's love is full of grace, but it is much more than that. Follow with me. God's love is full of mercy. Now, what do I mean by that? Imagine Hosea now is abandoned by his wife. And he has to do a living. And his life, trying to show God's love, it's very interesting. Now, I know here in America, there are many moms with kids. They don't have the husband with them. I don't know if it's if you can find easy dads that have to take care of kids while mom's left. I don't know. But this was his situation. I mean, it has to be hard. It has to be hard for a man who we can learn to make food, to prepare food, to cook. But it's not very easy for us, only for just few of them, of us, just few of us. We can learn to do cleaning in the house. We can learn to do everything children need. We can learn. But it's hard. What do you think was Hosea's job? Did he make a lot of money? And from the money he makes, I wouldn't think in that times when Israelites were far from God, they would really appreciate and pay good the preachers, the prophet, who always, when he comes, he had a bad message. He doesn't encourage us. He's telling us how bad we are. You think his salary was big? And he has to live himself and take care of his three children. But now, look, Gomer, with another man. They went, had some fun together. They go to his home. And Hosea's coming, following them. Gomer entered in the house. And he said, hey, I want to speak with you something. Yeah. Who you are? Who are you? What do you want? I'm the husband of the woman that entered in your house. He saw him, his fist prepared for, but no, you don't understand. I'm here because I heard you don't have enough food. I brought something. I heard you don't have enough money. Here are some money for you to enjoy. Or how else can I read this verse from chapter 2? Hosea chapter 2 verse 8 says, she has not acknowledged that I was the one who gave her the grain, the new vine, wine and oil, who lavished on her the silver and gold, which they use for Baal. Now, would you say this is a common thing? Would you say if you love someone, you do this? So imagine someone come to ask him, are you in your minds? You know what you are doing. You encourage her bad habits. Don't do it anymore. Stop doing that. No, I will do it. I have a question for you. How can a holy man like you continue to take care of an unfaithful wife like her? Thank you for your question. I have a question for you. How can a holy God continue to take care of us, sinful and rebellious people? And I think God's love is really full of mercy. And God's love is much more than people understand today in our culture by love. He continues to love, to show mercy, and to take care of us when we deserve and when we deserve it not. The Bible says, Jesus' words, that we have to be like Father in heaven who gives his son, the sun and the stars, sun to the good and to the bad people, and give his rain to the faithful and unfaithful people. He continues to love us even if we don't listen to him, even when we are not faithful to him. Israel had now centuries. They went far from God. God's judgment came. But God's love is still there. And in his big mercy, God wanted them to come back. But while he wanted them, expected them to come back to him, he continued to bless them. Continued to give them something to eat. Continues to give them something to live. Continues to show in his ways, different ways every time, his mercy. So this makes me ask a question for me, maybe a question for you. How can the holy God take care of me, the one who left him? Because in this morning, if it's to search our hearts, I think no one here in this room can say God doesn't take care of him. God doesn't take care of me. Although many times, maybe I love other things more than him, and here can be many things. Idolatry is done in history. Yeah. Idolatry is done. We don't have idols to worship in our homes or in our temples. But all of us know that this commandment long ago from Moses, from God through Moses, is still valid today, because what we love more than God becomes an idol for ourselves. What we cherish, what we are looking for in this life, more than we look for God, want to know him, that are our idols. And if I were God, if you were God, if you would be in the place of Hosea, would you continue to take care of Gomer? Would I continue to take care of me while I have enough time for many things in life, but not enough time for God? While I have enough money to spend for everything I want, not enough money to spend to God, to give to God? While I have a lot of fun when I do something that God is not interested very much in, while I cannot stand the time when I have to be with church, with my family, and I would like to be in other place, what should God do? Should he encourage us in sin, continuing to bless us? We don't understand how big is the love of the Lord. His love, God's love, is full of mercy. And in this morning, again, he comes to us with his love, making us understand that everything we have in life, everything we are in life, comes from him. It's a blessing for him. And he continued to do this, expecting, wanted for us to come closer to him, to live a life with him and for him. But he continues many times without our understanding, even if we don't do that. That's how God loves us. And it is more to the story. It's more to the story. I'll move to my next point, which is God's love is full of holy jealousy. At this point, it's important to me. I've read in a commentary that something God used to speak to the people of God who departed from him through this story of Hosea, coming from his feelings. If you read the book of Hosea, you will see there is some teaching, there is some judgment, there is a lot of promises and blessings. And as you see, as you read, you see there a jealous God. I mean, the messages, the prophecies are so interesting, mixed together, kind of big punishment come on you, but I will raise you, I'll forgive you. Where this all this teaching, these messages come from? Come directly from Hosea's heart. Now, I don't know who helped Hosea to take care of his kids. I don't know, probably he had some people who were with him in the house, helping him, knowing him better than all the others. And in the morning, they looked to Hosea's face. You look tired. I'm okay. No, you look tired. Yesterday you looked tired. Last week you woke up, you were tired. Something's not good. Do you feel good? Yeah, I'm fine. After a few days, in the night, is following him. He's alone in his room. It's okay for this man to be angry. It's okay for this man to be upset. But looking at, listening to the door, it's something else. It's something different there. It looks like he's in big pain. He suffers. He's praying. But he's not praying for himself. He is praying for his wife. He really wants something to happen in her life. Why is not he able to forget her? To let her go? She chose her way. It's for her happiness. You go, continue your life. Remake your life. No, he's there. I don't have other word. Suffering. So next morning, that person asked him, I have a question. Yeah, what's the question? How can a holy man like you suffer for a selfish woman like her? Thank you for your answer, he said. I have a question for you. How can a holy God suffer while his people abandon him? It's in centuries now. God elected these people. He could elect other people. God kept his part of covenant. They broke the covenant. He could let them go. There are other people who are more important, more rich nations that God could choose instead of Israel. But no, it's looking, God is there in heaven, and these are my people. And no matter how much he disappoints me, I'm continuing to work with them and to suffer for them. Now I have to stop here, short time out. I know jealousy may be something bad. I'm not speaking about that jealousy, okay? There is a bad part of jealousy when we suffer for ourselves. Our way doesn't happen. What we want doesn't happen. So we are full of jealousy. It's not about that. God's jealousy. It's always a holy jealousy. But he suffered for his people and loves them. And he knows there is no better place, there is nothing better for his people than come back in relationship with him. He knows that. And while I was preparing this message, I heard a story. I want to share a story with you. The story is coming from Ravi Zachariah. Maybe some of you heard about him. He's a very known teacher, an excellent servant of the Lord. He is doing a great ministry all around the world. Now, this is his story. Once, I was called by a very known athlete. I don't know who he is, but this is his story. And it was that known that when he said, this is, and he said his name, I knew exactly who he is. And he said, I want to speak with you. Okay. So he flew from his place, long flight, to meet Ravi Zachariah. And when they are together for discussion, he started to tell his story. He said, since I was a child, I saw that I'm very good with athletics. And I wanted, this was my dream, when I was a child, to win the golden medal at the Olympics. Okay, so I prepared to work on this journey. And I went, I do my preparation, I work hard. I went to the old competition, I recorded, I bought a camera, I recorded the best players, and I was looking very careful what they do, how they move, everything. I knew it all. And I started to work hard to be like them. So the time come, I go to my team, I'm selected to be part of the team, I was good. They wanted me there, they were in fact encouraged that I want to run for them. And the competition starts, I won the preliminary phases. I won the quarterfinal. I won the semifinal. And the time was that good that I was the favorite for winning the gold. Now it's the day of the big competition. And I'm there on the start line. And as the referee shoot for us to start, there is a thought coming in my head. I have no idea how it came. In that very moment, it came. And I lose the start. I still got the medal, but not the golden one. Now, this is my thought. Is he watching? And I mean, my dad. Because since I was a child, he told me it's not the right way in life. And he didn't encourage me. He didn't help me at all. He said, I'm stupid to think that I can make a living from sport. I have to do other things. And we're not well. We're not in a good relationship. Can you help me to restore my relationship with my father? Guys, this story broke my heart. Because you know what? If you are living in this life and you don't have a relationship with the Father in heaven, and everything we need comes from Him, and everything we need to live a right life, to be happy, to do something that matters, and then to die well and go in heaven with Him and have a big reward there for the life we lived. All of it comes from Him. If you are not in a good relationship with God, how can you live? Who are you really? What things will be your values in life? Of course, God is suffering when His children are living in this world without looking for a good relationship with Him that makes us complete, that really works in our life. Question for me, question for you. How can the Holy God suffer for me while I am in troubles because of my sinfulness? I'm in trouble. You are in trouble sometimes. Praise God for us when we are not in trouble. But it doesn't take so long that we are back in troubles, right? And when we research, when we search our hearts, we see many troubles come in our life because of ours or other people's sin. Because this world lost her compass, lost the relationship with God. And everything we do may make us feel a little better, feel some sweetness from this world, but will never satisfy us, will never solve the problems of our heart. Jesus came in this world for us. If you want to think how much God suffered for us to be in a relationship with Him, He had to come here and to tell us God loves us. And God is full, God's love is full of holy jealousy for you. He's looking to us today. I don't know, where are you in relationship with God? Even myself, I am sometimes in a better relationship with Him. Sometimes I'm not. Yeah, life is complicated. Many other things tend to distract us from Him. But He continues to love us gracefully, mercifully, but even suffering for us. Because He knows there is nothing better for people in this world than He is. There is nothing better for us. The life we can live cannot be better than when we are in a good relationship with Him. So in this morning, He's here, God, showing you His love, asking Him to consider to come back, like Hosea did. Now, of course, you ask, this story, how does he end? How does it end? Now I move to my last point in this morning, telling you that God's love is full of redemption. And coming back to the Bible passage we've read, and something interesting happens. In spite of all this wonderful, wonderful love Josiah has for his wife, Gomer chooses to go on her path. She doesn't want to come back. She doesn't want to change. She continues and she's moving, and it looks from the information we have in the Bible that she became a slave, continuing to do bad things. Somehow, she made some debts and she became a slave. And now the guy who probably at the time honored her, now he decided she's not interesting anymore. He wants to sell her. All the people around Hosea, this is the final part of the story. He will be free. If he cannot do it, she can do it. She will end it with this story. And it's the day when she goes to the marketplace where you buy the slaves. And we don't have much information about that. We saw in some movies how do they do. Of course, there are two categories of people who are favorite for being slaves, bought as slaves. Is the strong man that they can work something, and the beautiful woman. And I think she was beautiful. I have to assume this. But it really doesn't matter. And she is now there to be sold. And he goes there to the auction. And they're all watching. And the guy said, I'll give you 1 shekel of silver. And Hosea said, I give you 2. They cannot understand, what are you doing? Do you really have money? How can you have money? I mean, your life is hard. You have to raise all the children. Where did you take this money? And I give you 10. I give you 15. And it looks like they didn't have money left. And we don't really understand exactly what these measures are, but it's about some grain now. I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a latek of barley. And they started to negotiate with barley. And he said, I'm all in. This is all I have. I want to buy her. And she takes her. He takes her. And they go to the home. And he can tell her, now you are a slave. Starting today, you will do what I tell you to do. I have the right of an owner, of a master over you. But no, he didn't do that. So some people come to Hosea. We have a question. Yeah, what's your question? How can a holy man like you forgive, buy, and restore a woman like her? Because this is what he is doing. He said, now you are here. You are back my wife. Now please, stop what you did, bad things. Stop that. Be faithful, and I will be faithful. Let us have a good marriage together. Let us forget what happened, clean our past, and start over again. Will you? So he said, okay, I have a question for you also. How can a holy God forgive, buy, and restore to faithfulness a sinful people like us? Because God's love many times is wasted. Many times it's in vain. But what God really wants is not only to save us. Oh, for our poor generation of children of Christians in America and Romania, this is a universal message. Satan came and lied us that God is loving us. He gave his only son to save us. So we will be in heaven with him. But how we live here, that's not important. You live as you want. Just these things, you don't do that. They are bad things. But other than that, you'll be fine. No, it's not true. It's not true. When God worked from his love, pouring his love on every soul of man and woman in the world, he wants much more than that. Yes, he paid for us. And when God went to the auction, he was all in. He couldn't buy us making another universe. He couldn't buy us with everything he has because all the world and heavens belongs to God. He had to buy us with what he has the most precious in this whole universe, with his son's life and blood. And he paid it for me and for you. He paid it. And he's taking us in his home. And he's telling us, I want to forget everything it was. I forgive you for everything you did. But I want a new, fresh start. I want you to understand, we have a relationship. You trust me. You are faithful to me. I will be faithful to my commandment, my covenant. I will take care of you. I will encourage you. Let's do something here in this world. God, this means restoration. This means God is asking for all people coming to him to be saved, but then coming to him to be holy. Coming to him to be servants, to show his love to other people. And we have so many great examples in the Bible, in church's history, in our days today. And when God's love really touches our hearts, and it's full of restoration, redemption, then happens, we are not the same anymore. We start to understand God's values. And everything he doesn't value, easy, sometimes hard, take out of our life. And we are looking more and more in His Word, and we understand what He pleases. And although we are not appreciated for these things, we start to do them, to put value in them, because this means restoration. This means when other guys look at me, they can see Jesus in me. And I have to ask myself, it's a question for me, it's a question for you. How can the Holy God continue to forgive and work on my unfaithful life till I will become how He wants me to be? How He really wants me to be? That's an answer any one of us should try to find out. Because there we can see what can we see? I started the message with the most wonderful love story. The most wonderful love story can be yours. This is why God put it in the Bible. It's not in the Bible for Hosea. He already did it. It's not in the Bible for Israel people. They heard it. Did they understand it? Not sure. It's written in the Bible for me and you. And what's interesting about the story, we don't know how it ends. You know why? Commentator said that probably, at last, Gomer felt all this love and changed. And they had 3 kids. And they started to be a real family that testified for their Lord in that times. But we're not sure. You know why God didn't let us know how the story ends? Because we have to decide the end of the story for ourselves. And this morning, I'm not sure I could bring in front of you new things. I think God appointed me to come here and tell you the old things, maybe in a different way, that can make us understand more what really God's love can do in our lives. But the answer is not here at the pulpit. It will not be here next Sunday. It will not be here, because we, all of us, need to answer to the Lord and take His love in our hearts, in our homes, in our lives. So I want a competition in this morning. I would like. Are you prepared for it? Who's from all of us will really be the most wonderful love story? God is loving us, and He wants to prove it again. He wants to do it again here in Bryan College Station, in Weatherford, in Romania, and everywhere. He wants to do it. He wants other people who don't know about Him sees it again. May His love be fully revealed to us. God, I know You are here. And I know You love us much more than I could describe. I know You love us, every one of us, much more than we can understand. So I'm asking You, Will you, through your Holy Spirit, touch our hearts and starting to do something so every one of us will experience, will taste, and then we will live more and more tasting your love and then showing to all the people around us. Please, show your favor to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.